Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. This is Nazim Rashid, addressing you today on this fantastic, wonderful day that God has presented to us. Welcome on to the Religion Means Alive show, and I thank Imam Alfred Muhammad for giving me his slot to talk about the series that we're doing now called Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. This is part 11. Part 11. Yeah, on this series, all based from my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. So I implore you to go back if you haven't heard the past shows already to www.blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred and scroll down. You'll see my picture there and you'll see Conscious Parenting, Personal Growth. And just keep going to the archives till you can hear all of them, and you can download them all to your hard drive and hear them at your leisure. Burn CDs, put them into your iPod, any of those things, give them out. Give them as gifts to people who you know need to have vital information to transform their lives. Absolutely. And while you're in archives, you can hear the other two series. The first one was on addictions and recovery, for sure, addictions and recovery. And this was on conscious parenting and personal growth. Yeah, for sure. So, so personal growth, part one. Okay? Part 11, excuse me. Yeah. And so, now last week, let's just see here. We were talking about codependency and addictions. Codependency and addictions. That's a large area to talk about. And again, this is all from the personal growth areas in my book, Reconnected, How to Mentor to Your Child Self. By the way, you can go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and find out information there and get the book. You can read part of it free there. They have the ebook format also. And my website, www.cloudsofabundance.com, cloudsofabundance.com. My email, nrbookclub@gmail.com, nrbookclub@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. All right? Yeah, fantastic. Okay. So it was codependency, yes. Just kind of think about that. And you might say, what does that have to do with conscious parenting? What does that have to do? Many levels. Some of you mothers out there are codependent with your sons. You see, when they get of age and they want to leave the house, a lot of times you don't want them to leave. You want them to stay there. You say, you know, hey, we'll buy another house with a bigger room for you. You know, hey, why don't you stay here? Why leave? You see? And you have this connection that was really unhealthy. You know, because you have voids in your own emotionality that have not been filled in your own childhood. So now you want to fill them some kind of way through your son. You see, and let him go. He can't be a man if you're still tying him with your symbolic umbilical cord. Yeah, for sure. So there's a lot of reasons why codependency is a very necessary topic when we're looking at conscious parenting and personal growth area. Well, sure, of course. You can't lead a successful, productive life, healthy life, if you hold on to codependency with someone. It could be, you know, from alcohol, substance abuse, or just, you know, you like the mother I was talking about. Some void you have in your own emotionality, so you find yourself, you know, codependent in your relationships. You got to hold on to this person, no matter what they're doing to you. They might be just beating you down. You still have to hold on to them because you love them. See, that's why this topic is so very important to talk about in relationship to conscious pairing and personal growth. Yeah, for sure. We have to understand this, okay? Very important. All right. Okay, this is, I always like to go back and recap or, you know, look at some of the areas I talked about before. And yeah, I talked about the family model. I kind of made it with Tyrone, Roberto, see Susie and Heather, I think, but yeah, how they play different dysfunctional family roles, like scapegoat, hero, and so forth in the family, and what that has to do with them growing up to be, well, how that affects their adult life and their relationships. Yeah, for sure. You know, so that's very important to understand. All right, the common thread in all these different cases, you know, is the presence of low self-esteem and low self-worth. Since the family standards were all low, the only choice they as children in these families had was to internalize and accept low as being normal. Low as being normal. This brings to mind a couple of previously mentioned statements I said before. We are all products of our environment. The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. And we've heard these quotes before, and fortunately, they are quite true. This is a very important point. We have to realize that it is not our fault that our relationships have not worked out. Yeah, hear this. We were set up to fail in relationships by the unhealthy environments we grew up in, by the dysfunctional and dishonest definitions and role modeling that we experienced. See, both the classic counterdependent, and I talked about that quite a bit last week, and codependent patterns are reactive, codependent traits that are out of balance and dysfunctional. We do need other people. Yes, we do need other people, but to allow our self-worth to be determined in reaction to other people is giving power away and setting ourselves up to be victims. Oh yeah, a lot of people wear that victim label all the time. And we know a lot of people like that, don't we? It is very important to own that we have worth as the unique, special being that each of us is, not dependent on how other people react or think about us. Think about that. Now, this is a very difficult pill. Oh, you have to swallow for codependents, for they feel they are defined by how others think of them and of being people pleasers and martyrs. For the classic codependent, their self-esteem lies entirely on and in the other person. It causes them to forget about getting their needs met and to not be aware that it is right to have needs. The process of owning self is frustrating and confusing. The concept of having boundaries is very foreign. Yes, the fear of abandonment is another common thread that is dominant in the classic codependent and counterdependent's mind. The counterdependent experienced a level of abandonment as a child, and as a survivor, technique of theirs chose to shut people out so they can't abandon him again. The codependent experienced abandonment, so they choose to cling on to their relationship partners with their enabling ways so they won't be hurt again. Both these ways are dysfunctional and dishonest. Think about it. We in our, this is a quote by Robert Burning. He says, "We and our codependents have radar systems which cause and attract to us the people who, for us personally, are exactly the most untrustworthy or unavailable or smothering or abusive or whatever we need to repeat our patterns individuals. Exactly the ones who will push our buttons." End quote. See, the codependency evolves through the offspring because it makes children dysfunctional, leading them to enter into dysfunctional relationships as adults, either as addicts, their codependents, or in the case of the counterdependent, a dysfunctional disposition regarding relationships, which still equates to not having healthy relationships. children don't live with healthy family models. They will never internalize healthy family ideals. Please, I hope you heard that. We all manifest what we have been exposed to in our immediate environment. Whatever is experienced in the household is considered normal on one level or another. Or we take the other end of the spectrum and adopt the counter-dependent personality and shut out everyone. We don't always accept misbehavior consciously, but on the subconscious level, there's an area of acceptability. Please hear that. Yeah. Man, we don't always accept misbehavior consciously, but on the subconscious level, there's an area of acceptability. Boy, it's really something. That's why abuse, when you see a husband, you know, abusing the wife in front of the kids, kids don't like it consciously, but subconsciously, they accept that that's okay to do, and they grow up to do the same thing or to take the same thing from someone. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We also tend to consciously or subconsciously want to correct the wrongs we experience. So hear this. Yeah. Let me say it again. We also tend to consciously or subconsciously want to correct the wrongs we experience. But in going this route, we are concentrating so much on what we don't want that we forget to focus on what we do want for ourselves. And as the law of attraction dictates, again, we draw into ourselves that which we habitually allow to dominate our consciousness. All right, another family story here. Just think about this. As I read these various kind of family stories, think about people you know in your life. Might be you. See if this fits. All right, Norma. Call her Norma. Norma was born into a family of 12 other siblings on a farm. She watched her mother take the codependent, enabling role all her life. Whatever her dad, Arthur, said to do, her mom, Anne, would do without ever commenting about it. Anne never had endearing, loving names for Arthur. It was always Arthur, you know, or Mr. Anne never voiced any of her own opinions on anything the house, and it seemed like she just played the maid and nanny role. King Arthur would come in and order everyone around, creating the feeling of fear. Anytime Norma would ask her mother what she always wanted to do with her own life, Anne would just reply, "Well, child, I just wanted to be a good wife and mother. That's all." Norma would say to herself, quote, "When I grow up, I'll be nothing like my mother, and no man will ever tell me what to do. I will control my household instead of him controlling it or me." You can believe that one. So, Norma's upbringing controlled her thinking too, as that idea of hers became her dominant thought and her guiding principle. She too was creating a future for herself based on the dysfunctional family model that she was raised in, and further perpetuating a codependent spirit in her next family, thus creating imbalances. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maria. Okay. Another name here. Maria had repeated abusive relationships and didn't know why. Her mother was a codependent wife with an adulterating husband, a self-proclaimed conservative Christian. Her mother taught her to make better choices for herself and to want the best for herself in life. But for some unknown reason, she kept getting involved with the wrong types. Male-dominating messages from the church her mother took her to caused some levels of confusion and dismay for her. Her mind was not at ease as she was told to accept the messages anyway. She gets married as a teenager to a controlling brute and has three babies before she is 19. She tries to get away in her early 20s, but he finds her and drags her back. She finally divorces him and swears that she will never get another controller like him again. The next one is a bit more suave and persuasive. Yeah. He had the conning kind of thing going on, okay? Yeah, the player. He had charm, good looks, and sold himself right into her heart. He drank moderately, so she didn't think that that would be a problem, and they got married. Soon afterwards, the drinking increased, and he didn't think having a regular job. He demanded that she bring in more money to compensate for his thinking and creating times between jobs. After all, he was trying to find himself. Yeah. He had to find himself before he could pursue his next occupation. Of course. Yeah, you understand that one, right? Of course. When she protested, the physical abuse started. She said to herself, "There I go again. What's wrong with me?" This one is not as bad as the last one, but he is still abusive. How did I do this? This marriage was short-lived and they soon divorced. Now, our Maria was stronger, working harder on a nice job, taking care of herself just fine, but taking on the counter-dependent role. Quote, "I don't need anybody. I can take care of myself. A man can't do nothing for me. Forget them all." Anger is leading Maria's life. How do you think her next relationship, if she has any more, will turn out? You see, healthy, balanced relationships are wonderful, attainable, and to be desired. Relationships in which mutual respect, compassion, empathy, and support for healthy, independent mindset is a great ideal to have, but unfortunately not one that has been supported by our current dysfunctional culture. A healthy need for other people is fine, but to allow your self-worth to be determined in reaction to other people is giving power away and setting yourself up to be a victim. We all have worth as a unique creation, and God has deposited in all of us a special talent that is to be acknowledged, nurtured, and conditioned. Fertile ground. God has planted the seeds already, but we have to first acknowledge those planted seeds, tend to the surrounding soil with care on a regular basis, reap the harvest for ourselves and others, and start the process all over again. Everybody got that? Yeah. Here's a classic unconscious thought of a codependent. Remember, classic unconscious thought of a codependent. Quote, "Since I do not love myself, there must be something wrong with whoever else loves me. So who needs somebody like that anyway? But if they turn away from me, then I have to win them back to prove that I am lovable." Unquote. See, this is a way of sabotaging relationships as the come close, go away, come close game continues. See, on some level, we are trying to earn the love of our unavailable parents, to prove to ourselves that we are worthy and lovable, or in some kind of way, trying to rectify our child-parent relationship by acting out in this dysfunctional manner. Either way, cause more hurt, disappointment, and despair. Everybody getting this? Yeah. Even though I'm talking about relationships, that's directly related to the topic, conscious parenting. you can't separate the two. What are you modeling for the children? Remember, like I said before, they don't be what you say, they be what they see. Yeah. Tweet, tweet, like Oprah says, huh? Yeah, for sure. This is so important. So important. Yeah, I talked earlier in the series about what children see when they you know, with their unconscious mind as they're looking and observing their parents. Yeah. Maybe I should say that. Go back to that one again. That was a good area, actually. Yeah, what they actually are seeing when they are looking at their parents, what the girl sees, and what the boy sees, looking at the father and the mother. You know. Maybe I can find that and talk about that again. That's so important. That's why it's important to go back in archives. Email Alfred, blogtalkradio.com/emailmealfred. You see? Yeah. That's important. Okay, man, so let me do that. I think I just found that here. Yeah. So any type of imbalance in the household, can result in a variety of imbalances in the children. The path the kids take emotionally all depends on what type of soul God gave them at birth. We cannot expect to be exactly the same with the same conditions in the house. It just doesn't work that way, and parents need to accept that. This is why the father needs to understand his role in the family and knows that he is always on stage when he is around the kids. Everything he says is being recorded, and everything he does is being filmed and stored. His body language is being observed, and his relationship level with the mother is being documented. The little boy child is asking questions inwardly. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, inwardly. As he is watching and feeling his father. Remember, this little boy child, okay? What's he saying with his inner self? How am I supposed to be as an adult later? How am I supposed to treat my wife, prosperity partner, best friend, and soulmate? How am I supposed to work with her and jointly raise my family? What are some options out there for me to explore and experience which will provide a different way for me to make money? How am I supposed to set the tone in the house? How am I supposed to spend time with my kids in and out of the house? How am I supposed to lead the family? How am I supposed to provide for my family? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do I make decisions? How do I discipline my children when it is my turn? How do I bring happiness to the family? How do I model a healthy, appropriate fatherhood to my young ones? Remember, this is a little boy child, you know, asking questions inwardly as he's watching and feeling his father, okay? All right? Okay. Yeah. How do I concentrate on quality time with each member of the family, ensuring connectedness and emotional stability? How do I have and maintain a healthy relationship with money so that money is the servant and not the other way around? How do I define strength, courage, and leadership in and out of the house? How do I honor? Yes, how do I honor and respect God in the house? How do I acknowledge, honor, and respect the individual nature of my kids later on? How do I define contentment and pride as a man? All right. How do I get in to pursue my greatness within? How do I get motivated to maintain a high level of happiness in my house? How do I communicate? Yeah. And listen empathically, ensuring connectedness and understanding. How do I develop a can-do mindset? How do I acknowledge and honor my own soul? And how do I attain and maintain a limitless frame of mind, knowing that abundance is in my nature and that I was given all I need for the complete fulfillment of my life. Ooh, it's a lot. Now remember, this is the position from the little boy child, as they're observing their father. These are the questions they're asking themselves. So therefore, the father should be fulfilling all these answers in the little boy. Okay? So they can grow up to be healthy, productive, okay, father and husband themselves. All right? Now, I'm going to say, a man is measured by what he knows, by what he represents, and by what he produces. Remember, produces. A real man produces more than he consumes. Knowing this, how do I become consistently productive and progressive? This is what the mind of the male child is asking to himself, and the emotional and social path that awaits for the child depends on the answers he receives. Please hear that. All right? Now, the mindset of the female child is asking some different questions, and some the same ones as she takes note of how her father presents himself. Remember, it's all different. Now, she's observing her father. Okay, so everybody got that? Okay. Her questions are, how's my future husband supposed to treat me? How's my strength, courage, and discipline developed? What kind of attitude is my husband supposed to have as we are jointly raising our kids? How does my future husband provide support of family financially, emotionally, socially, and spiritually? Is he acting like my true hero? All right, now as she turns her attention to her father, she asks, does he model the healthy hero image for my future husband? Is he my rock on whom I can always depend? Is he the modeling kind of husband that concentrates consistently on easing the burdens, whatever they may be, of me, the wife? Ah. Is he the true source of happiness for my mom? Does he bring a gleam to her eye and a loving smile and hug when he enters her space? Does he bring the kind of love that I want to have in my future household? Think about that. Now, children, they need to have healthy female energy. When kids don't get the right kind of nurturing, compassion, attention, and standards of cleanliness, the imbalanced perspectives in these areas start taking place. The imbalanced perspectives. Now, when I taught personal development skills, I noticed one of my students had a infant child that was obviously needing some type of maternal attention. I was teaching at this pregnant parenting school for a while, a couple of years. I saw a lot of things. Yeah. The child was nervously wiggling around, frowning and whimpering and whining. When I asked the mother if she was going to do something, she responded with, my mother didn't pick me up or spoil me, so why should I pick my baby up every time she cries? End quote. I asked her if she didn't like the loving hug from her mother as she was growing up, and she said, my mother didn't do all that, so why should I do it? She rolled her eyes at me, you know, sucked teeth. I had never witnessed that before. I felt so sorry for her newborn. Man, isn't that something? Who knows how that baby will turn out? But whatever the outcome, it will be one of imbalance. Hatred, rebellion, early delinquency, and a criminal lifestyle are probably waiting for that innocent child. See, mothers set their own special tone in the house. Regardless of what outside demands and responsibilities the mother has, her home is her castle, and the healthy mother will run her house. Oh, yeah, that's truth. Men, you got to understand that. She is the first educator and the one who initiates the discipline standards. She is the symbol of love, compassion, empathy, and God in our infant lives. That's true. God in our infant lives. Yeah. She performs magic and is the source for food and comfort. Oh, yes. Now, as the male child observes his mother, inner self asks these questions. Is she there when I need her? Can I use her qualities for my future wife? Is she a good source for food? Is her food good? Does she smell good? Ooh. Is mealtime a time I can dream of or dread? Can I have a good, fun time with her? Can I depend on her to protect me against the outside people? Will she come back to pick me up from school? Can I always learn from her as I get older? Does she really know what I am thinking? How does she treat and respect my father? Will she show me how to treat my future wife and children? Will she tell me what my roles and responsibilities are as a healthy husband? Now, the female child's mind would probably ask, is this the kind of modeling the way I'm supposed to be? Is this the way I'm supposed to run my future house? Is this the way I'm supposed to get what I need from my husband? Yeah. It's amazing. Is this the way I am to interact with him when he comes home or when I come home first? Is this the way I'm supposed to express love and affection with my future husband? Is this the role I play when my husband and I are jointly raising our kids? Is this the way I show support for my husband for all the good that he demonstrates? Is this the way that I show support for my husband for all the good that he demonstrates? Oh, yeah, I said that already, didn't I? I'm sorry. Is this the strength and courage that I am to have as I stand up for what is healthy, morally right, and sound? Do I mimic her confidence when she refuses to compromise her moral standards and defends the souls of her children? Is this the standard of love, empathy, and compassion that I am going to emulate later in life? Whew, isn't that something? Children need to have the different energy levels of male and female in their lives. When the healthy yin and yang, positive and negative, I don't mean bad now, okay, cool and hot qualities are present in the household, the child will have a more balanced view of life. Everything in life is built on the pairing system. It takes both the man and the woman to bring life into the world. So it only makes sense that it also takes two to mold, raise, and appropriately model healthy kids into healthy, contributing, productive adults. Now, even in the court system, you have the prosecution and the defense, both presenting their perspectives to the jury and judge. There is night and day to balance our daily existence and work and play to balance our emotions. Okay, the young female child, noticing how her mother handles her father and relates to him, provides the relationship standards that she will most likely adopt. Yeah, the male child will see the same thing from the male perspective. Okay, the girl will know how to be in touch with her femininity and how to use it appropriately and effectively, and the boy will know what healthy manhood means, how healthy fathers are defined, and what determines real strength, confidence, courage, and commitment. See, children need the different perspectives of life, male and female, as they're growing and developing. Okay? Oh, yeah. Now, that was actually from the Identifying and Managing Emotions section, but I saw it being so appropriate when we were talking about codependencies and how we model what model where the kids become, either pro or con. Okay? Yeah. Now, looking at the word of love, let me talk about love for a minute. L-O-V-E, love. A lot of people discount it. A lot of people don't know what healthy love is. And they look at their parents and say, well, this is love. Even though it might be fighting, it might be drug abuse, it might be resentment, it might be abandonment, neglect. But the parents say this is love, the child identifies that and stamps love on it. Then they grow up to experience that kind of love. They say, well, this is love, so I'm supposed to have this because this is love. Okay, so let me take care of that right now, all right? I'm going to give you a list of healthy versus unhealthy or called toxic love characteristics. This actually came from two people, Melody Beattie and Terrence Gorski. Okay, number one, healthy love. Development of self as first priority. Toxic love, obsession with relationship. Okay, this is how I'm going to go back and forth. I'm going to say love and toxic love. Love is healthy love, okay? So you know. Number two, love. Room to grow, expand, desire for other to grow. Toxic love, security, comfort in sameness, intensity of need seen as proof of love. They really be fear, insecurity, and or loneliness. Okay? Three, healthy love. Separate interests, other friends. Maintain other meaningful relationships. Toxic love. Total 100% involvement. Limited social life. Neglect old friends and interests. Yeah. Encouragement of each other's expanding. Secure in own worth. Toxic love, preoccupation with others' behavior, fear of other one changing. Five, healthy love. Appropriate trust, trusting a partner to behave according to accepted healthy standards. Toxic love, jealousy, possessiveness, fear of competition, protect supply, unquote. Y'all know what that means. Healthy love, compromise, negotiation, or taking turns at leading, problem solving together. Toxic love, power plays for control, blaming, passive or aggressive manipulation. Healthy love, embracing of each other's individuality. Yeah, toxic love, trying to change the other one to their own image. Isn't that something? What happens all the time. Eight, healthy love, relationship deals with all aspects of reality. Toxic love, relationship is based on delusion and avoidance of the unpleasant. Nine, healthy love, self-care by both partners, emotional state not dependent on others' mood. Toxic love, expectation that one partner will fix and rescue the other. Ooh, that's a big one. 10, healthy love. Loving detachment means healthy concern about the other partner while letting go. Healthy concern. Toxic love, fusion. Being obsessed with each other's problems and feelings. Being obsessed with a person. 11, healthy love. Sex is free choice, growing out of caring and friendship. Yeah. Toxic love, pressure around sex due to insecurity, fear, and need for immediate gratification. That's why a lot of rapes happen within marriages. You might say, well, how can you have a rape in a marriage? No, that you can. It's got to be between two consenting people, whether married, yeah, for sure. Consenting is the word. All right? 12, healthy love, ability to enjoy being alone. Toxic love, unable to endure separation, clinging, yeah, codependency, that's what we're talking about today. Healthy love, cycle of comfort and contentment. Toxic love, cycle of pain and despair. And that's something that's 13 areas there. All right, all that's in Reconnected, by the way. So please get the book. You can internalize and work on all you want to. And everybody needs to do that, by the way. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Now, if we can't start seeing relationships not as the goal but as opportunities for growth, then we can start having more functional relationships. then we can have better children. Yeah, absolutely. Then they can see what a healthy relationship all about, a healthy marriage all about. Okay. A relationship that ends is not a failure or a punishment. You should not go into an internal cloud of depression thinking that you are a failure as a person. No, 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 no. Don't do that. Don't do that. It is a lesson, and the many lessons you will encounter in life. As we learn from our many, many, many experiences, we evolve ourselves into better, wiser individuals, ready and more equipped to deal with the next encounter. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah. And if you're in a relationship and you have the divorce, you're married, you got a divorce, don't say, we got to stay together because of the kids. Oh, my little boy got to have his mother. You know, I can't see him not having his mother, so I'm going to stay with old Shamika here, you know, because of the son. Yeah, yeah, I got to do it. You know, I'm miserable, but I got to do it. Not... It's more healthy for a little one, your little boy, to have a healthy stepmother than have an unhealthy view of what marriage is between his mother and father in the household. Health is more important. All right, that's the key, health. All right? So if you have the divorce and then you have a healthy situation in your next marriage, that's much better for the kids than staying in a relationship because you want the kids to see your mother and father in the same house. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do it to the kids. That's torture and really abuse to the kids. If you can make a conscious choice and you don't do it because of your image or what a family is, you're destroying the children that way. Okay? And that will harm them as they grow up and they have families themselves. All right? Very important to understand that. Okay. Now, the term codependency is really came from 1987 publication of Melody Beattie's work, Codependent No More, along with countless articles on the subject. The term dysfunctional families was discussed in Dr. Salvador Mnuchin and Herman Charles Fishman's book called The Family Therapy Techniques in 1981. Okay, so these terms are relatively new on the scene. Before 1981, we didn't have these types of discussions about adults addicted to substances or addicted to unhealthy relationships, you know, and the counterparts being addicted to them. We didn't have all those kind of things. So this is relatively new information. And this is good for people who want new information so they can have better productive lives. That's what this is all about. This is what this show is about. This is what I'm about. I've had over 20 years in the mental health and drug counseling fields. I wrote this book, Reconnected. It took me 4 years to write it based on my experiences, you see. And it already has changed lives dramatically, and I want everybody to get the book and start applying the principles into your own life. Change those negative voices in your own path, and be a better example for those, if you're a parent or just for those around you, so you can lead better lives. Absolutely. All right, the one playing the enabler role, we got to keep talking about this because a lot of you out there, you know, are playing the enabler role in your relationships. Enabler. The enabler is the one who makes excuses for, covers up for, lies for, and denies for the other abusive codependent partner. See, the enabler satisfies a need because their actions foster a need from the other person in the relationship. Okay? They need a sense of security. The appearance of a happy family, food provided, bills paid, and seemingly safe environment. Mm-hmm. The mate can make all these ideals come true, or so it seems. See, her home seems secure, since no one has threatened the household and no family member has been harmed when in public. The family members can all smile and take cute little pictures together. Oh, what a cute little family. They always have food in the pantry. Bills are paid eventually. You know? So you see, our enabling wife is fulfilling a need she has always wanted. Her enabling has now become justified, and everyone in the family is conditioned to play out some codependency role in order to survive. Y'all, I was talking about last week, you know, the scapegoat hero and all that before. Yeah. The ongoing matter in a codependent home is to avoid conflicts and problems and to make excuses for destructive or other hurtful behavior. Think about that one. Fear, F-E-A-R, fear is a dominant emotion in the codependent home. The reason the enabling wife makes a strong effort to make no waves with the abusing mate is because of the fear of reprisal. The fear of the other person hurting her in some other way, hating her, destroying the nice family image she has created, berating and belittling her in the front of the kids, and of course, the ultimate, physical abuse. I've heard many sad stories from friends and clients who have codependency like this. See, here's another story. Mary, Scholar Mary. Mary was married for 20 years to her husband who was in the Army. She suffered from mental, emotional, and physical abuse for most of the marriage. Can't imagine that. He was an alcoholic, and when he came home, he struck fear into the entire household. She was a stay-at-home wife with three children. Mary said she loved her husband very much and knew that he really didn't mean all the things that he said to her and the kids. And he also didn't intend to hurt her as he did on a regular basis. She said that he was just stressed on the job and he was tired when he came home. Mary tearfully said, "He doesn't know what he is saying or doing half the time." She was always bragging on his military accomplishments and accolades from his superior officers. She beamed with pride as she described how wonderful he was. When I asked her why she was taking so much abuse and not doing anything to stop it or reporting the abuse to authorities, she simply said she could never do that. She loved her husband. She liked to sing, had a great voice, or like an angel, and had, I'm telling you, and one time when she sang, people took notice. When she occasionally went out with him or without him and sang in public, she received a lot of attention and praise. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, melodic. When she arrived home, he jumped on her again for flirting. You know something? Flirting. Or for thinking that she was somebody. Mary said that she did report him one time to authorities in the military as they stayed on the base. Mm-hmm. She said that they would take note of the report and ask her what she did to provoke him. Hear that? Hear it all the time. Well, he later found out about that and jumped on her again. She then was more and more terrified of him as he told her that she would never, never be able to get rid of him. And if she tried, she would be in trouble one way or another. You know, she eventually did leave him after he started jumping on the kids. Oh, yeah. Up until that point, he had only focused the physical abuse on her. But when he started beating them up, then she became motivated to take the kids and leave. Isn't that something? Boy, I can't. In 20 years, oh, can't imagine. I just can't imagine being with someone that long and suffering that kind of abuse on a regular basis and remaining sane. Okay, what did she do? She moved to another city, to a relative's home, thinking that she and the kids would be all right. She had been tortured for so long, had been told that she would never be rid of him so many times that she actually internalized that programming. Oh, let me hear this now. She really thought that he was influencing people around her to be mean to her. Yeah, this included people at her new job, the bus driver passing her by as she waited on the corner for a ride to work. Strange calls she was receiving. Even a homeless man she found in her yard one morning. Isn't that something? Now, her husband died a couple of years after she moved, so you would think that she would start some real healing and recovering, right? Huh? Well, she said that even though he was dead and buried, he still had influenced many people in her environment to still harass her. I remember she moved to another city and died before ever visiting her, so he never even saw where she was physically. Even when new people gave her a hard time, she still insisted on blaming her now dead husband for all the ill treatments. Isn't that something? She never went through a divorce because she said that she could still get financial benefits from being a military wife. I asked her if there were no benefits, would she divorce him then? She said no. She felt that God would somehow blame her or she would lose favor with God if she divorced her abusing husband. All right, now, this story might seem extreme to many of you, but the fact is that this kind of dysfunctional relationship happens all the time. Isn't that something? This woman had allowed herself to be victimized, brutalized, berated, belittled, made to feel less than a human being, and brainwashed into believing that he was going to control her even after he was gone. Now, there are many relationships that don't go to such an extreme, but still suffer the ill effects of codependency. I'm trying to paint this picture for you, really. If you've got this issue and you had kids, maybe the kids are grown, maybe the kids are doing some strange things, you don't know where it came from, maybe this is where it came from. They saw you playing the codependent role while they were growing up. Okay? Yeah, for sure. You can't be an independent thinking, healthy mind with codependency. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. So keep that in mind for sure, all right? All right. Anytime you're in a relationship where you can't grow as the independent spirit of God because your partner likes you just the way that you are, then you are codependent. Just the way you are is being blindly submissive to them. Remember, blindly submissive to them, covering up their faults, making them look good in the public eye, and basically doing what you are told. In the abusing, controlling mind, the thought is to the submissive codependent, quote, don't care too much about yourself. Don't listen to others when they want you to follow your dreams. I am the only authority in your life. Don't you forget it. Remember, your way is my way and my way is my way. Isn't that something? You see, neither person grows and develops themselves. The dominant one is so blinded by his or her own fear and arrogance that they cannot see that they are only stopping themselves from achieving any real meaning in life. And the submissive one never takes the time necessary to find out what their internal spirit is really all about. Please hear that. Please hear that. That's so, so very important to understand. Okay? Oh, I'm telling you. So if you go wind down this show here, we've got to get some more time here. Not much time here. Yeah, so if you want to participate on the show or ask questions, hit your number one, and I'll talk to you as we're in by the last 10 minutes of the show. All right, I'm giving another quote from this guy, Robert Burney. I study him quite a bit, too. I study a lot of people in writing Reconnected. He says, quote, the codependent type of behavior is an attempt to overcome the core belief that we are unworthy and unlovable by working really hard to earn love from another. The more a classic codependent feels that they are being abandoned, the harder they work. End quote. So, unfortunately, the classic codependents are attracted to the very people who eventually abandon them. Not just the physical types of abandon, but more the emotional type, being unavailable, is common. When they are abandoned, they feel that their low self-esteem and low self-image of themselves is now confirmed. They tell themselves, Why would anybody of substance be with a loser like me? If they had any sense, they would leave, unquote. Well, like the law of attraction dictates, whatever you think about, you bring about. And we are ruled by our most dominant thought. Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, as a mentor, parent, parent-to-be, teacher, and whatever, you know, start the mending and healing process within now. Please start the mending and healing now. It's not too late. I don't care how old you are. It's not too late. If you have had or had codependency issues in your past, reconcile them now and be free. Be free of that illness. Come on, you can do it. You can't hold on to or justify codependency on any level and be a whole, healthy, spiritually sound human being. And you can't parent anyone if you're holding on to unhealthy attachments. Yeah, because, you know, remember, they'll do what you're doing. These attachments keep your mind and heart accepting things which are only temporary. Now, how can you expect to have a healthy, balanced emotional foundation when you learn from parents and others in your environment that they were themselves wounded children from wounded parents? Huh? Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, this book, Reconnected. So I wrote this to help everyone who is really interested in improving their lives by going back in time to become a mentor to their child self. Okay, that's the biggest part of the my book. You see? Yeah. Matter of fact, I'll deviate now from the topic of conscious parenting, personal growth. I'll talk about the real end result of my book, Reconnected. All right? When I say mentoring, when I say child self, I mean the child self that you once were. So imagine having an imaginary child, imaginary friend like kids do. That imaginary friend is you as a child, okay? Your child self, all right? Yeah. Just like Robert Burney was saying, it is critical for us to examine our patterns of behavior and thinking, connecting those current patterns to our childhood experiences. We can undo the emotional results of the past by becoming a mentor to your child self. See, as your mentor, you can counsel. I said the self you once were. You can counsel your child self and your old family members and create different results. All this do I call virtual experience. All this happens in your imagination. Imagination is so vast. You can do this. You can go back in your recess of your mind and go back there and pretend you're a next door neighbor to your family, and you become the senior advisor to your family. Okay, yeah. So you can see yourself talking to your mother. Remember, this mother of your child self and your siblings, anybody that your child self had a problem with and wanted, any situation you want to redo, you have these traumas in your life. You know, say your mother, you know, knocked you down the stairs, not intentionally, but didn't apologize. That's a scar on you right now. You can go back in time as a mentor and through this virtual process, you can change the feelings. You can do all that. Yes, it's in the book. Okay? Yeah, so what you're doing, you're creating your own virtual family experience. You can change anything that you want to change. You can write a new script for yourself. You can do that. Thus creating new reality. Yeah, and new, exciting, healthy patterns of thoughts and behavior. Yeah. You know, so you got to be a producer of your own play. And play is really called the new you. And you're the producer. You can create anything you want to create. Absolutely. Anything you want to create, you can do that. You can do that. All right? Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to break right now with the topic at hand, conscious parenting. And we'll continue next week with the topic of conscious parenting and personal growth being part 12. And we'll get into more recovery, looking at how a lot of people have addictions and how that interferes with healthy parenting and personal growth. Yeah, addictions do that. So we're going to talk about how you actually get rid of those addictions and have a nice, healthy, productive life. All right? Very, very important to do that. All right? Now, again, my website is www.cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. Okay? Very important. My email, you can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. All right? Reconnected, how to be a mentor to your child. So, can you bought on that website? Or you can go to Barnes Noble, Amazon. You can read part of it there and get it there. If you have an ebook, you can get it that way. I'd rather for you go to my, if you're in the States. If you're in the States, go to Clouds Abundance, and I can send it to you personally and autograph it. If you're out of the States, you have to go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon to get it that way, okay? Very important to understand that, all right? Okay. There you go. Oh, but yeah, my show. I have my show on Saturdays called The Reconnected Show. It's going to allow you like to call and listen on your phone. At 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, you can call 347-994-2524. 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. And listen to the Reconnected Show. This week I have Dr. Danita Applewhite. She's going to talk about self-esteem based on her experiences. She works with the disabled population. She's called the differently abled population. So she'll talk about her experiences as a teacher and counselor and consultant, and how she's helped her population see extreme things happen in lives. You know, miracles happen in their lives when people thought they couldn't do anything because of their disability. So that's happening this Saturday, again, at 2 o'clock. And if you go online, it's blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Same network as this one. You know, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. And you can listen that way online, or you can listen on your phone like a lot of you like to do in this show. And just put it, you know, put it down, put the speaker on there, and just listen while you do your housework and so forth, all right? Okay, there you go. Covered a lot. And for everybody, go back in the archives and hear the other parts of this show, Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. Next week will be part 12. Now, again, we're at our time of 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. It changes sometimes, but it's Eastern Standard Time at 6:30. And so tune in early, hear the whole show, okay? Call in for questions and answers and comments if you'd like to do that. And also have the chat line open. You can, if you're listening online, you can actually post questions on the chat board, okay? So you can do it that way too. All right, very important, all right? So with that in mind, again, this is Nazim Abdul-Rashid. I'll leave you with the greetings of peace that I start with, the greeting of peace in Arabic. Assalamu alaikum.